You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For those who are listening that aren't especially familiar with the American political system, what is the Supreme Court and how does it operate? What sort of decisions do they make?
The Supreme Court only takes cases on appeal. So these are cases that come up from the local courts, the district courts, the appeals courts, and finally they reach the Supreme Court. They're usually matters of constitutional interest. So the basic job of the Supreme Court is to interpret the Constitution and to make sure that any laws passed by either the state or the county or the federal government are in line with the Constitution as interpreted by the justices.
Right. So could you explain to me the history of the Supreme Court? Because it's an institution that a lot of people criticize for being archaic and outdated.
It really goes right back to Montesquieu's idea of balanced government, three branches, and it's almost every country has a Supreme Court. The U.S. Constitution, when it was drafted and came into effect in 1789, included the court as the co-equal branch. So the idea was that the three branches of government would check and balance each other to avoid a tyranny such as that of King George III, against whom the colonists rebelled in 1776. So the Supreme Court's always been seen as a bulwark. It curbs the excesses of the popular Congress. It curbs the excesses of a president. And in many cases, presidents and congressional laws have been found unconstitutional. And then this is regarded as an important element in the American system. Not so much in other countries. In other countries, the Supreme Courts are less active, but many people admire the American system, at least up until the Trump period, that this balance has proved to be effective.
I'm interested to hear your own thoughts on how the Supreme Court operates, because as you mentioned, It has been criticized a lot since Trump got into office. So do you think that in its current form it needs to be reformed, or do you think it's fine the way it is?
Well, the problem with the court is not the court itself and its aims. It's the people in it and their particular views. The criticism is largely that it's become politicized. That is, the Republicans accused the Democrats under Obama of packing the court with liberal justices, and now the Democrats are accusing the Trump administration of packing the court with very conservative justices. In previous times, the justices have authorized same-sex marriage and abortion and other controversial issues, moral issues that people feel very strongly about. And at other times, the court's been very conservative, and it looks like the court is moving into a 6-3, nine justices in total, six of them conservative, three of them liberal, and that we're moving into a period where abortion may be struck down, for example, and the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, may be struck down as unconstitutional, as interpreted by the conservative justices, not by the liberal justices. They will object, but they'll be outvoted. So there's a feeling that the court is becoming too politicized. I would say that abolishing the court is certainly not the right way to reform it. And it's a difficult question because The court does perform useful functions, even though it's criticized by the losing side, whichever it may be, the Democrats or the Republicans.
With Amy Coney Barrett being confirmed yesterday, do you think that this will impact legislation on Obamacare and abortion, specifically because those are two issues that she has gone on record as opposing previously?
No question, Felix, that the Barrett joining the court will produce a 6-3 majority in favor of conservative interpretations of the Constitution, that is, minimum government involvement, and the liberals, the remaining three, will be outvoted, even though they will be able to file dissenting opinions, and these dissenting opinions will carry some political weight, maybe an interpretive weight as well. So the fact that the court is very heavily conservative at the moment, increasingly so because of the Barrett addition to the court, means that even if Trump loses the election and the Democrats win the Senate, the influence of the court will continue through the lifetimes of these justices, since they are appointed virtually for life. Consequently, the Democrats will be feeling aggrieved and worrying that all of the good work that Obama did will be undone by the new court.
So you mentioned earlier that there's this concern that the Supreme Court has become heavily politicized. So although Supreme Court justices are supposed to be unswayed by political beliefs, the Republican Party and I suppose previously the Democratic Party have been rushing to introduce their own justices. Why is this? What is the motivation behind that?
Well, each party has its own ideology. The Democratic Party tends to be a party of government assistance to underprivileged people. The Republicans regard this as government interference, and the Republicans prefer minimum government, small government, minimum regulation, minimum taxation. And it's a clash of ideologies, and this is reflected in the types of justices that each party, each president will appoint during that time when they have the ability to do so. Now, I just might cast your mind back to the 1950s. Earl Warren was the governor of California. He was appointed to the Supreme Court. He was a Republican, and he was expected to be very conservative. In fact, he wasn't. He was one of the most liberal justices, and a lot of social reform took place, very pleasing to a Democratic approach to government in his time. So it is not 100% certain that Barrett or any other justice will rule against liberal policies. In fact, the last judge to be appointed did oppose Trump's policies on a couple of occasions. So the justices are not entirely politicized. Many of them are very conscientious. They have very sound and careful judicial reasoning for their decisions, their vote, and consequently, we can take some hope that Justice Barrett will do the right thing. She will interpret the Constitution and the political context, and may not be as terrible as the Democrats portray her.
So going back to this idea of the Trump era of the Supreme Court, three different Supreme Court justices have been confirmed under Trump. What is the significance of this? Has this ever happened before?
I can't cite exact history, but each president can appoint whoever leaves the court gives the president the opportunity to appoint a new justice, and so three is pretty close to the record, particularly in a 4-year term. Now in an 8-year term, who knows? Trump might be able to appoint one or even two if he wins the presidency, and that is a pretty large dollop. And there's not much the opposing party can do about it. It is a presidential privilege, and we have to rely on the integrity of the individuals appointed to the court to interpret it without fear or favor, without political bias. And they certainly would never admit publicly to being politically biased. They would be strictly constitutionalists and legalists. They would look at precedent. They would look at the Constitution. And they would look at perhaps the consequences of their decisions. And the politics, theoretically, should not come into it. The fear of critics is that it already has come into it. The Republicans say, well, look, the Democrats put a lot of liberal justices in the court that allow for big government and big taxation and lots of regulation of say, environmental polluters, things that I think would be a good idea, but they don't think so. And now the Democrats are criticizing the Republicans who are doing exactly the same thing. it's hopefully the court will rise above all of this political chatter once the election is over and it's settled, once the justices get to work and start doing their interpretations, we may find that the court restores its reputation for balance, for sound judicial interpretation. And it's my hope that we can somehow move the court away from politics, maybe not above politics, but certainly away from politics, and have some confidence that the court, in the long run, will do the best thing in the public interest.
So Mitch McConnell has repeatedly defended the decision to confirm a new justice with mere weeks to go before the election by saying that Democrats would do the same. Do you think that this is true? Is there a precedent for justices being confirmed this close to an election?
No, it's certainly not true. I go with Daniel Dale, our CNN fact checker. I have great admiration for him and all fact checkers. This is certainly not true. What happened was that Obama put up a justice to fill a vacancy in January of an election year, and for that entire year, the Senate, led by Mitch McConnell, Judicial Committee, refused to even begin hearings. So this was far out before the election campaign had even begun. And so the Democrats say, look, here's the precedent. If the Republicans have actually stalled a Democratic nominee for no good reason. There was no compelling reason to not have the hearings and not to go ahead with the confirmation process, except that the Republicans were playing politics. Now, the shoe is on the other foot, and the Republicans are rushing through a justice just weeks before an election. In fact, the election has already begun. People have cast their ballots. 50% of ballots are already in the box. And this is outrageous. It's without precedent in American history. So in my view, it's a blot on the Republicans' record. It's hypocritical. It's rushing through something that they say the American people should have a voice. Well, they're denying the voice to the American people because the nomination has been rushed through before the results of the election are known. So I'm fairly critical. I'm very critical of the way the Republicans have handled this, and particularly in the way that they have violated their own principles and their own precedent in order to get their own nominee quickly installed in the court.
So just before I let you go, I'm interested to hear if you have any closing thoughts on what you expect will happen in the next few years if Joe Biden wins the election.
Well, my specialty is foreign affairs, and I would go back to the Obama administration in which Joe Biden was the vice president. So I'm guessing that it'll look pretty much like Obama. He'll be an internationalist. He will patch up relations with former allies, the neighbors Canada and Mexico, with the NATO alliance, with the Asian friendly governments, and that we'll see a return to sort of Obama cautious internationalism. With China, well, there might be some differences there because as China becomes more assertive, the United States becomes more resistant, and Biden can certainly see that some more firm policies regarding China are necessary. I recall looking at a Pew International Polling Organization chart, and it shows that under the Clinton administration, international approval of the United States was running about, say, 60% or so. The George W. Bush administration came in and canceled a number of treaties and ruffled a number of feathers, attacked Iraq, and the approval rating of the United States went down to around 40%. And then Obama came into power, and he tried to moderate policies and restore international linkages, and American approval of the United States abroad went up again to 60%. Well, now under Trump, it's down around 20 to 30%. So international opinion does vary. They watch American presidents very closely, make up their own minds, And the opinion, certainly internationally, is very unfavorable to the United States. Whatever Biden does, it's got to be better. And I expect that he will take lessons from his time in the Obama administration, and we're going to see a much more benign, much more cooperative, much more humble United States under O'Biden than we would under a second Trump presidency.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.